From high atop the world headquarters at Southeastern Fly, this is the Southeastern Fly podcast. Subscribe or follow wherever you consume podcasts. After listening to this, if you think it's good information, text it to a friend and let them listen. So today, just came in off the river. The wind is blowing a million miles an hour. When we were on anchor and the wind was coming in our face, it would move the boat back up river onto the anchor rope and off the anchor and then start just spinning at times. So a little bit of extra work there. And then, of course, it seems like it never blows straight up or straight down the river. It's always blowing a little bit of an angle. But I'm not complaining because we caught some fish. It was a pretty good day. Folks learned a lot. And we caught some really nice fish that you'll see later probably on. If you're not following us on Instagram, you need to be doing that at Southeastern Fly, because there's a lot of neat stuff that we're doing on Instagram now that it's entertaining, but also some good information out there as well. And if you're really good with our waters around here, you can figure out exactly where we are, but it takes somebody pretty knowledgeable, and those people are probably already out there. We probably actually saw them today. And speaking of today, I saw a guy fishing on another boat. He's catching some fish too. I mean, it's just a good all-around day on the river. And I was watching him fight a fish, and that got me to thinking on the way home exactly what this episode is about. It's about fighting fish. And so we're going to go from setting the hook to playing the fish to getting them in the net, and how do I get better? Those are the four topics that we're going to hit on today. I think this one's going to be kind of entertainment. I tried to write some notes down whenever I got home. I'm sure that I left some thoughts out that I was thinking on the way back to the house. But the dogs are here. Sage the Wonder Golden is in the floor right here. She's out. B, the puppy, who is a year old now, is running through the house somewhere downstairs. So I'm sure she'll come in and you'll hear her before this is over with. There may be a dog fight. So don't be surprised at that. But fighting fish. So as I was watching this guy, I'm not saying he wasn't doing things right or wrong. I'm just saying that it was kind of fun to watch, because I've seen all these mistakes. I've made all these mistakes and a whole lot more than what he was making. He's actually a good caster. He seemed to be able to set the hook pretty good from what I can remember seeing him do that. But a couple of times I turned around and I saw him fighting the fish. So the rod was bent and all that for the most part. But as I watched him, maybe a couple fish is all we saw him. All I saw him, and the view wasn't always great, but I got the gist of what he was doing. And like I said, and that my angler was really, he was really on top of things today. He had his ducks in a row. It's always fun to take those folks that, you know, you're there to show them where the fish is, since they don't get to fish this area, or this guy didn't get to fish this area before. So he had all the techniques, a lot of the skills, but he needed somebody just to make his day by getting him on the fish fairly quick. So that's what we were doing. But the other guys, really what made me, the other boats, really the one that made me start thinking about, all right, what's going on with fighting fish? So let's go to step one, is setting the hook. So do keep the slack out of the line between the reel and the first eye. So you can do everything else right, but you will have this big loop. But folks get this, and I do it too. Folks get this big loop between the first eye and the reel, where the line comes off the reel. You know, it's hanging down there 2 or 3 foot, which is actually 4 to 6 foot if you think about it, because it doubles. It has to go down, make its curve, and come back up. So when it comes off the reel, it hangs down, and then it makes this little turn up, and then it comes back up into that first eye. This is before you ever see a fish or catch a fish. This is right after you get done casting, you get everything set up. You might make a mend or two, and that line will sometimes come back through the eye, and then it just kind of lands right there in a little pile or a little loop right at the reel. So don't do that. Keep that slack out there. That'll get you, because that'll delay the hook set some, and sometimes you won't even get a good hook set. So unless you don't hold the rod level. I like to hold the rod tip down. We're taking Euro nymphing out of the picture here. I like to hold that rod tip down to the water. Even if I'm waiting, I like to hold that rod tip down. That'll help that line. I can control that line, how much I've got on the water. Do keep a little bit more line out below your non-casting hand. You know, you'll hold it in that hand or lay it on the water. Do keep a little bit more out there than what you're using with your mends and with your casts. So keep the line, the loop, out of your line between the reel and the first eye of the rod, meaning that the big eye, the closest to you. Don't hold the rod level. Hold it down a little bit. That'll help that a little. And also that'll help you pay attention. And you'll get a lot more when you're setting the hook. You'll get a lot more arc in that rod, a lot more leverage in that rod as you come up to set the hook. And we're going to talk about setting the hook a little bit more here as we go on. But keep a little bit more line out, but behind your dominant index finger that you usually holding the line with. Keep a little bit more line on the water out there so you'll have more to mess with as current picks up and takes and the wind blows and like it did today. So let's talk about playing the fish. I've seen a lot of different folks play the fish in a lot of different ways. So now you've set the hook, you've got the fish on, and you got your slack out. Now the fish is running, jumping, doing all the things that we really like a fish to do. Dig. We're talking about freshwater fish here. Don't get too hung up on saltwater. Saltwater is a different game, and you learn that in a different way, and there are a lot of different techniques. But freshwater fish tend to, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, trout in particular, have a little softer mouth. So there's three types of – there's a really cool guy or angler out there that's the cool fight, you know. Reel up in the air a little bit, rod tip down almost in the water, getting as much line in the water as they can so that they can keep a little bit of pressure on the fish without doing a whole lot of work. That rod tip in the water takes a little bounce out of the rod too, so it's really cool. And they tend to turn around and talk a little bit. If they have to make a move, though, and they trip, that rod's going in the water. If the water's not very deep, they're probably going to jam that rod tip into a rock, and it could break the rod tip. So keep that in mind. This cool fighter, this way is only for the cool people. Like, I couldn't do this because I'm not cool like some of the other people are. I'm just, you know, a trout nerd. But that's the way that the cool people do it. You know, you'll see them, they're waving their arms around, talking to people while they're catching fish. They got the rod tip down, so nothing's really going on. And then you got the machine gun, airplane machine gun gunner. So this person, you know, holds that rod vertical, almost straight up and down, and they hold it hands just above their belt, never getting above their chin, usually never getting above their waist, and they're fighting that fish with their wrist. They're turning left and right. They move the rod tip with their wrist. They don't come forward and back. They just move the rod tip with their wrist, and they strip with their hands. The rod's almost straight up and down. It looks a little cool, but it's not as cool as the cool fighter guy. They can move their body, twist on their waist so that they can twist with the fish. And then whenever they get the fish to the boat, a lot of times they just pull back on the rod tip, and it kind of goes back behind them. That's when it really gets, they can really get in trouble then. And I'll tell you a way to combat that in a little bit. But they really get in trouble then because they don't have anywhere to go but back. So they either had to take a step back, which just drags the line across, in our case, across the edge of the boat. And it'll pop off on one of the knots if you've got a knot in there. A lot of times it'll pop the fish off. And on the oar lock, there's a little ring there that holds the oar lock on. It's actually under the boat. Under the gunwale of the boat, hanging down just a little bit, and they'll get their line caught in there. So it really looks pretty cool there, right up until the point that it's not really cool, and that fish gets tangled up in there. So I try to keep them, you know, try to keep telling people, hold the rod tip out, hold it away from your body, and that sort of thing. And that kind of cures it. But the best way that I've found is like a boxer. And if you fish with me before, and we've fished for any length of time, and we've talked about the way that you're fighting your fish, you'll hear me say, get in a boxer stance. So 1 foot kind of in front of the other, kind of like your feet. You can move left or right. You can move forward or back. You can lean forward or back. You can do whatever you need to do. If you're in the brace, you're going to lean forward, back. But if you're wading, you might have to take a step or two back. And it's easier to do that if you're in a fighter stance because you're already in an athletic stance. And that makes a difference whenever you have to make that move. when you have to start feeling around with your feet. Your balance is a little better that way, especially wading. If you've got big rocks, I just talked to Mark on the Spring River yesterday, and he's talking about the big rocks, it's slick and that sort of thing. So I'm going to kind of marry that up to fighting fish. If you're in a boxer stance, you got your legs are spread a little bit more front to back and a little bit side to side. Your toes are pointed wherever your toes are pointed. Hopefully your toes are not pointed in the same direction. Hopefully you've got like your right foot out a little bit and your left front leading. Then when you get ready to take a step, you're already in a good position. So that's your feet. And then your hands are in a boxer stance as well. So your dominant rod hand, we'll call it the rod hand. In my case, it's the right hand. So my rod hand, I've got it up, still below my chin. I've got my hands away from my body a little bit. They're not stuck straight out. They're not tight. They're right kind of in the middle, so I can move forward and back with those. I can twist on my waist, like we were talking about the airplane machine gun guy. I can twist on my waist there. I can move left and right pretty easy, and the rod will follow. So I've got that hand there. I've got another hand, my left hand. I've got another hand. I've got two hands. A little joke there. A little dad joke came in there. Got my hands. I got my right hand up, still below my chin, but almost level with my chest. That's probably the best place to put it. And then I'm stripping with my non-rod hand. So I've got those apart. I've got, I'm able to move my hands, move my shoulders. I'm able to react to the fish. And it doesn't matter too much what it does within reason. I mean, if it's a little fish and you set the hook, it turns its head. And once it gets its head turned and it's kind of running in a direction, it's going to keep on running. So if you set the hook, the head gets turned back to the boat. It's probably going to run under the boat because it was trying to run to start with, and you turn its head and all it knows is get out of Dodge, and wherever Dodge is now changed and they don't care. So it's good to be able to react to all those situations. Like I said, you're ready to take a step if you need to, you're ready to move left if you need to, you're ready to move right. I like to have that rod up. I say, until you get your style down, whatever that style is, and everybody's got a little bit different style, till you get that style down, I would say just keep the rod tip above your eyeballs. Don't let that rod dip below your eyeballs until you get really comfortable. And we'll talk about how to get comfortable here in just a minute. So keep that rod tip kind of above your eyeballs so that you'll be able to keep a little bend in the rod, a little bounce in the rod when the fish shakes its head. So some things to focus on there. So that's the three kinds of people that I've just noticed. The cool fighter, you know, got the rod tip down, able to turn around and talk to his friends, her friends. Then you got the airplane machine gunner. You know, he's moving left or right, or she's moving left or right, keeping that rod right there where you would a machine gun, kind of right below your chest. And then the boxer, which in my mind, the boxer is probably the most athletic piece or athletic way to position your body to fight a fish. So stripping the fish into the net. So now you've hooked the fish, you've fought the fish. You've got it under control now. So stripping the fish into the net. And let's go back to my rod dominant hand, my right hand. Never, ever, ever move your stripping hand above your rod hand or your cork hand. Never move it above and reach above. Don't go above the reel and reach. Always pull from below where the line comes out. Now, it takes just a second to figure out what I'm talking about. So I see folks often, very often, new folks especially, they reach up above their rod hand and grab that line, the fly line, where it comes out of that first eye, the eye closest to the reel. They reach up there, they grab it, they let go with their index finger, and they pull all the way down to their, almost like they're putting their hand in the pocket, and then the game is on, trying to get that line under that index finger so they can reach up there again and make that next pull at that eye and pull back down to their pocket. So what's going through your head then a lot of times is, I need to make a big strip, the biggest strip I can possibly make. And if I make that strip, that's going to gain all that line that fish is now coming toward me. So I'm trying to gain line. So I'm going to make that big reach. I'm going to grab that line up there with that eye where I'm comfortable. You know, it's coming out of that first big eye closest to the reel. I grab it where it's easy to get a hold of. But whenever you let go with that index finger, that's when the trouble starts, right at that very moment, because now you've separated your hands and you've separated that line from the rod. And now you've got to try to figure out, how do I get it back? Well, the first thing that you're going to do, since your hand is down by your pocket, the first thing you're going to try to do is move your right hand to that line where you can grip it with your index finger again, as you're trying to fight this fish. I don't know how many times I've seen that. I know I did it whenever I started, and somewhere along the way, someone told me, don't reach up there. Don't ever reach past your hand that's on the cork, in my case, my right hand. Always reach right below it, because that line is going to be hanging down there somewhere, and it'll be easy to get to. And you're going to pull on the wrong side every once in a while. You're going to pull the reel. Pull line off the reel that you'll know right away. Okay, I don't need to do that. I need to go to the other line. And then you just need to strip. Now, what do I do whenever I have to let go and come back up? Well, it's easy. I just come back to my right hand, grab the line coming out of from underneath my right index finger, grab that with my left hand and pull it down. What if the fish is coming toward me and I'm trying to make up slack? All right. First thing you're going to have to do is strip faster. That's first. So you're getting half the strip of what you would if you reached up to the eye. So you're going to have to strip more. So it'll take two strips almost for every one. So you just have to strip faster. Two, you can raise your arms up. That'll take up some slack. And you'll see people on the river with their arms raised up, and they're just, what they're doing is taking up slack most of the time. So those are the couple things there that'll help you. But don't ever, never, ever, ever, well, never say never, never say always. But I'm going to say never, and you'll know only when you need to do it. And I can't think of a good time to do it. But don't reach past your dominant hand to grab the line to strip. Always strip below your dominant hand. So you want to control that fish with the finger, your cork finger on your right, in my case, the right hand. Once you get it on the reel, I have a lot of folks say, should I get this on the reel? There's really nothing much cooler in fly fishing than have a fish on the reel and have that reel screaming. But it's not going to happen every fish every day. Sometimes it won't happen for an entire week. But if you have to ask, should I get this on the reel? You probably shouldn't worry about it. That fish will let you know when it's time to get on the reel, because get the line on the reel. What we mean by that is you're no longer stripping. You're controlling the fish with the drag on the reel, because generally the fish is either A, bigger, or you're screaming down the river in a boat or something like that. So you don't necessarily have to ask the question. Although if you have a question about it, by all means, and you're with a guide, ask them, what should I do? Because they're the ones that are supposed to be helping you with this. So if the fish starts taking out line and you can't strip, you know, like it's bending the rod, you know, double over or something like that, and you can't strip it in, then by all means, control it with your right index finger, and you can control it with your left hand, the line coming out, and just keep that tension on that thing. Strip when you have to, let out when you have to. But if it's getting on the reel, it's going to get there pretty quick. It's probably a big fish, or it could be wearing the fly, one of the two. And then you can just control it that way. Just control it with your stripping and with your index finger. If you run out of line to strip, then by all means, okay, that answered that question. You need to get it on the reel. Do keep that rod tip bent. I like to keep it, like I said earlier, above my eyeballs, the rod tip above my eyeballs, but with a bend in it. It's okay to look away from the fish and watch the rod too. As a matter of fact, it's pretty fun to know that, you know, your rod's bent over and looking down the river and nobody else's is at that particular moment. That's pretty cool. But keep that rod bent. Keep some tension on that fish. That rod bent means, okay, I've got tension on that fish. If you're using barbless, you definitely want to do this. But and we've used, I try to bend the barbs down on the hooks that aren't barbless. I'll bend them down a little bit. But keeping that bend in the tip of the rod is what I call it. Doing that, if I do that, I know that, all right, that hook's for the most part going to stay in there. The longer the fish stays on, if it's, you know, if you fight a fish for 10 minutes, when you get it in, that hook will probably slip right out. And that's more because you've, the hole's been made a little bit bigger in the fish's lip. So one of the don'ts is don't let that fish take off running and bring your rod tip down. What you don't want to do is bring that rod tip down. And they're good about doing this, especially the bigger fish. They're good about turning and running away from you. And if you're clamped down on that line, and you've got a good bend in the rod, that rod will only take so much before the leverage on the rod starts bending your wrist. And you don't realize it till it's practically too late. But that rod will start coming down. You'll lose the bend in the rod, and you'll be fighting the fish instead of fighting it off the tip or off the midsection. You're fighting it right off the butt of the rod because it's basically straight out there, pointed down at the fish, and you're hanging on and you haven't thought, well, I need to let a little line out. And a lot of times they'll just pop the hook. Or, I mean, I've seen them pop the line, break the line, nice little clean break there. So that's another thing to be aware of. Always keep some bend in the rod. If you're getting a fighter stance, keep the rod tip above your eyeballs and keep some bend in it, and you'll be good to go. You'll catch more fish that way until you get, you know, your style down of how you want to catch fish. Try not to strip that leader all the way up into that first eye so that a lot of people using loop to loop. I've got some loop to loop stuff, from the fly line to the leader. And I've got some nail knots as well. I go back and forth on this. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter which one you use. When you bring that leader up into the eye, that first eye, it doesn't come across there smoothly like the rest of the line does. It'll stop it just for a second before it gets across the eye, before that knot gets across the eye. Hope this is all making sense. I'm seeing it in my mind. You may have to listen to it a couple times to figure out, gosh, what the heck's he talking about? Because some crazy stuff goes on in my mind. But that line, that knot coming across that eye, across the metal eye, wire of the eye, it'll catch just a little bit. Now, you'll get it in there, and it probably won't affect the fish any. But when the fish makes a run and you've got it in there, that's when it affects it, because it has to pull that knot back across that eye, in some cases eyes. And if the fish shakes its head or gets enough tension on it, a lot of times it'll pop that hook out. So try to keep that line. This is another case where you'll want to look up at the rod tip and just make sure, you know, you got, with your stripping in line, all right, I'm almost to the eye. I want to leave about a foot out there if I can, maybe a little less. You know, if that works for you, great. If not, get in there and work with your leader a little bit. You may need to shorten your leader a little bit. You may need to lengthen your leader a little bit. You should be able to lift your arm up and still have the fish in the water. That's counting the bend in the rod. So try not to strip that leader in there into the rod tip if you can. That's definitely a way to lose a fish. I don't know how many big, on the flip side of that, I don't know how many big fish we've caught where the knot is all the way up to the, almost to the reel, because they've got some big bends in the rod. Another thing. So now we're to the net. Let's talk about getting it in the net. So you're holding down on your stripping finger, on your dominant hand, your rod dominant hand. You're holding the net out in your left hand, in my case, the left hand, so your non-rod hand. And how do you get that fish into the net? The quickest and the easiest. The first thing you want to try to do, if you can, is get the fish's head right at the top of the water to where it's almost sucking air, the fish. So you'll want to do that. That's the first thing. Now, if you're this machine gun dude that we were talking about earlier, you're going to have some problems, because what you're going to want to do, and I talked about this earlier a little bit, is you're going to want to bring that fish to you, bring your rod to you, and try to scoop that net. Now, your left arm may not be long enough to do that. So you're going to want to turn. A lot of times they want to turn because you've been in this machine gun stance for, you know, several seconds, sometimes a minute or so. So you're going to want to keep your hands out there, and you're going to want to turn. As you turn, you might be able to get that fish in that net. That's one way. And then you've got the guy that's your cool guy. he's got his rod tip down. He's going to try to bring that thing in, and they're, you know, if you can get the fish going to the right and your right hand dominant, sometimes you can get that fish in there, but you still have to take a step back and turn your body. And then the next thing you know, you're trying to move your arm out to the right. And I'm doing it right now. I'm just trying to move it to the right so I can scoop the fish with my left hand. Easiest way to do this in my, I guess this is opinion. This is what we do. Let's put it that way. Everybody's kind of got their own style, and I'm not poo-pooing anybody's, believe me. I've got plenty of things to poo-poo on my own. But what you want to do is keep your hands in that boxer stance. So now we're back in that boxer stance. We've got about maybe a foot or so of fly line left before it gets to the tip, the eye and the tip of the rod. Now we're still in that fighter stance. I've got my rod, my net in my left hand, and I'm holding it out. The easiest, best thing to do is once you get that fish to the top of the water, and all the runs are done, you know, the fish has made all the runs it's going to make, it's ready. Lift your hand almost straight up, but make sure that your rod is still pointed out toward the fish a little bit, like out in front of you, that rod tip still above your eyes. And I like to say Statue of Liberty. You move your arm straight up from where you are with the rod tip at a little bit of an angle so that the fish is still out in front of you. You don't want to come straight up and straight back because that's going to bring everything across your body, all those knots, all those everything in your line and your leader. If you have extra flies, you know, you fishing two flies, a lot of times that'll get hooked on you. So you want to have that rod out a little bit. You want to raise straight up. Statue of Liberty. I always say Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty does what? Her arm is raised up. That light on top is straight up. You're going to want a little bit of bend in your wrist so that rod tip is out a little bit. And then you'll be able to guide that fish right into the net just by turning your body or by moving your arm back a little bit like a fighter would before he gets he or she nowadays gets ready to throw a punch. So you might have to think about that. It's easier to show you. But once you see it and once you get it, you'll understand why you start off in that fighter stance. It's an athletic stance. It's where you kind of want to be, and you can work off of that fighter stance in everything, in your hook set. You'll be ready for the hook set because it's an athletic stance. You'll be ready for the fight because you can twist and move and up and down and in and out. Then you're ready to Statue of Liberty. Once you're in the Statue of Liberty, you're pretty much, if that fish's head is up above the water a little bit, you're pretty much just going to slide that fish right in the net. It's going to be pretty cool. You're going to look like you really know what you're doing, which is really cool. So those are kind of the tips. Now let's move on to how do I get better doing this? How do I get better? Well, the best way is to, like I say on just about everything, fish more. Just fish more. Learn your craft. Get your techniques down on your presentation, on your fly selection. Learn to read water. Work on your hook sets. The more you do that, the more fish you'll catch. The more fish you catch, the more you'll be able to work on how you want to approach bringing a fish to the net. Reading the water is critical. I don't think I've ever had a conversation on one of these shows. I probably have. Who am I kidding? But I don't think I've had many conversations on these shows where I don't say presentation is king. Doesn't matter what you're doing, presentation is king. Stripping streamers, presentation. Drifting dries, presentation. Swinging a soft tackle, presentation. Drifting a nymph, presentation. Euro nymphing, presentation. Learn presentation. And then as you start getting better at presenting the fly and hook sets and fighting fish, you'll become better and better at catching fish. We got into the back end on that one a little bit more probably than what I thought we should. But after today, I thought, well, now's a good time while it's fresh on my mind. Sage the Wonder Golden has left the building. I don't know where she went to. But she slept through the day, and I was out in the wind and the rain. It rained a little bit today, and it's raining again. So I timed that just perfect. Tomorrow I've got a rowing lesson to give. And I think the next day I am going to fish with a friend of mine. Also, needed to tell you, if you want one-on-one help, we've got the coaching sessions. If you need a reference to say, hey, how does David do these? I've got a couple references for you. And I've worked with them enough and they know that it's really helps to have someone to talk to before you go. And then to talk to when you come back to see what, you know, it's kind of a decompression whenever you come back of, hey, these are the things that I saw. Anyway, we do those. They're on the website, southeasternfly.com. In the store, you can find them there. And also in the store, if you find value in the podcast and you want to stop by the store, make a purchase of a t-shirt or a hat. Thanks to everybody that's made those purchases. And thank you if you're considering it and you do. You do get a free decal, and I got some new decals ordered that are a little bit different. We'll send you a Southeastern Fly podcast decal as well, just for the heck of it. All you have to do is order a hat or a t-shirt. Anyway, there's Sage down there. I don't know if you can hear her barking or not, but she has found something to bark about. It's driving her a little crazier. But yeah, so you just listened to How to Fight a Fish on Southeastern Fly. See you next time.